This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles, and today we're joined by another neighbor in the community, William B. Hart. Started off with Scrapple from the Apple. Tell us a little bit about that song.
It's Charlie Parker wrote the melody. It's popular during the bebop, still popular now, but during the bebop era, 40s, 50s is where it started. It's a loose variation on Honeysuckle Rose by Fats Waller. It's an interesting tune. It's got a lot of notes, but that's not why I play it. It's the way Charlie Parker lays the melodies out. He was great. Most people think of him as a great player, and which he was, but he wrote great heads. They were just great.
We love being able to hear Charlie Parker whenever we can. Thanks for your interpretation.
Thanks for having me by. I enjoy it. I like being here playing for you.
I love when somebody walks in with their instrument, so thanks for bringing your bass in today. How did you get started on bass?
Like most people from my era, it was the Beatles, but it's also local bands too. There was a lot of teenage dances and a lot of local bands. They were playing all over the place, and that was kind of it. Local bands and the British invasion.
Did you have a local band here? Were you from the area?
Yes, I'm from Verdon. I was in a little garage band called Just Us, and we didn't play much. We had more fun than we did playing. It was really my start.
You got interested in jazz fusion and big band and a variety of different genres. What's your favorite type of playing?
At this point in my life, I don't have a favorite type of playing. I'd like to play bass, and I like to play tunes. There's a lot of tunes out there I like to play. It can be from any genre. It doesn't matter to me anymore.
Do you get out and play? Can people go see you play anywhere?
Yes, I do. I usually play at open mics mostly. The one I'm playing at now is at the Harvest Market. It starts up April 1st. Tom Irwin runs it. That's where you can catch me out on Wednesday night from 6 to 9.
When you go out there, are you playing by yourself, or are you getting into jams with other folk?
I strictly play by myself at this time, just strictly solo. I call it bass and spoken word.
Not a lot of folks do strictly bass. It's usually more of a, my brother will kill me for saying, a support instrument. It's often part of a multi-piece. The fact that you play solo, it's awesome, and we're going to hear some more of that. How did you get where it wasn't about a band, it was about you and the bass?
What I'm doing is not new at all. This has been going on for some time. And there's a lot of bass players out there playing solo nowadays, a lot. And they're really good, pretty amazing. It's not new. It's just something that it kind of evolved. It wasn't like I really thought about it that much ever. We can use the pandemic as a place to start. And I was fooling around. The pandemic broke. I knew Tom Irwin a little bit. He was having an open mic, and I decided to try it out. And I convinced him to let me do it. That was a couple of 3 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since.
Tell me, what are you looking for when you try to find music to play?
Tunes I like, that's all. Like I said, they can come from any genre, any style. Some tunes I've had to let go because they just wouldn't work on bass. So some things I've had to drop. I don't think about it too much. I just find tunes that fit. And if I enjoy them, I'm going to go out and play them. And I want other folks to enjoy them too. I don't do anything obscure. All the tunes I do are known from somewhere. I try to go out there and have a good time with it.
Are you self-taught initially, or how did you come about?
At the beginning, you could call it self-taught. Later on, and I took lessons, of course, by many different people. That really got me going was Gene Haas and Lincoln Land Community College. They made my career. Gene Haas was a excellent bass player. He taught me a little. I was going to LLCC at the time, Lincoln Land, the old one. out there, but when it was temporary buildings, that made my career.
You also did some time with the Navy?
I was in the Navy band for 1976 to 1996, 20 years.
What's that like?
Well, it was great. I can't say enough good about it. It got me out of here, see the world, so to speak. I was stationed in some fabulous places, met a lot of good musicians in the Navy and outside the Navy. I always played outside the Navy band. It was great, and I got a pension from it.
Mostly jazz performances with Navy band?
Or? Oh, no. We had big band, we had rock band, we had a ceremonial band, we had your marching band, VIP combos. Oh, I did a little bit of everything. And that's where I started arranging, too.
Big band is one of the genres. Have you done any scoring or anything like that for big band?
Oh, yes, I do a lot of it. The U.S. Jazz Ensemble has played some of my scores. Now, with the internet, there's a couple big band groups on Facebook, and I'll post an arrangement I've done, and I've been pretty successful with that. I really like doing it.
Do you do that just for the fun of it, or do you get compensated for those?
Both. I really like doing it. It's detail work, and there's some frustration. You have to know your stuff. You have to know your harmony and things like that, instrumentation. Just like my playing, I'll arrange anything. I arrange everything from Nardis by Miles Davis to Our Day Will Come by Ruby and the Romantic.
If somebody needs an arrangement, can they contact you?
They can, through beboworld.com, BEEBOworld.com.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're talking with William B. Hart. He is a musician. He was kind enough to bring his bass in today. We greatly appreciate that. Electric bass, do you play any other version of bass guitar?
I played up on and off for a long time, and I also played tuba, and that fit me well when I was living in New Orleans. I lived in New Orleans for 10, 12 years. Hurricane Katrina blew me back here. That's why I'm back here. Maybe I was having too much fun in New Orleans.
Our fortune that you ended up coming back. Sorry that you had to go through the Katrina piece. That shook up the music community down there at the time.
Did a lot of things.
You were here in Springfield at the same time that Adrian Belew was?
I'm not too sure when he arrived here. I played in a group called Tongue Snatcher Review that was popular with the Sangamon State crowd. They hooked up with Adrian somewhere in the 70s, mid-70s. I'd already joined the Navy and had left. They brought him back to Springfield. Part of his first album, Twang Bar King, was recorded here, up on Peoria Road. Crazy Wabbit Studios. Rich Denhart ran it.
I have to go back and listen to some Twang Bar King here soon. When you're taking a look at what music looks like today, are you positive about it? Is it good? Is it easy to practice? What's your outlook?
The music business, as far as I'm concerned, of getting gigs and getting known and that, fundamentally hasn't changed. People like to talk about the internet. That only makes more of it. Spreads it. You can get your music out there. That's the real good thing of it. But it's you and a million others you're up against. Also good about the internet is you can find almost any music you want to, no matter how esoteric, albums that you couldn't find for 20 years that were out of print. Now you can find all that stuff. That's great. But the elephant in the room and what I have to talk about is AI. This is just too dangerous, too scary. AI 2 years ago was kind of talked about. Now it's out there. I've heard some of it. I don't look for it. Spotify has it. A podcaster named Rick Beato has played some of it and analyzed it. Some of it sounds pretty good. That's the scary part. It's only going to get better. So what do we do? My theory is real people and musicians are going to play real instruments. AI, what's that going to do? I don't know. I can't predict the future. I'll never use it. I can't use it. It's just too scary. But look at today's young crowd. Say teenagers today. They're going to use it, whether you like it or not. Some young teenage girl's in her bedroom and wants to sound like Taylor Swift. There you go. She pops in a few lyrics, presses the Taylor Swift button. Boom. Some young teenage boy is playing guitar, wants to sound heavy metal, puts a couple riffs in there, a couple words, hits the Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath button. Boom. It's very dangerous. But it's going to be used. I think film and commercials and TV is where we're going to see it most.
Saw at least one band recently that was having some success, and it was disclosed that that was a fully AI-created song. And it was making it through with everything else. The only thing I think that's going to be difficult there is how do they do a show? I guess shows may not be a part of it, or maybe the AI will, much like Gorillaz, create an animated version of the band for people to watch, and they'll like that.
Maybe it'll be holograms. Here's the problem with AI, another problem. Do you think the Grammys is going to have an AI? I think they will. Very soon, maybe even next year. If an AI tune wins an award, who gets the award? The software company? Maybe I'm sounding old-fashioned. I never thought I'd see this happen in my music career, but it's here and it's going to stay.
One of the concerns is that AI frequently is going through other artists' material to come up with riffs or tones or sounds. If it's creating something basically on its own, and we know other artists who have been influenced by the Beatles or whatever else and have written amazing music, AI can do that, but how much of other artists are they not crediting? We saw a lot of this with hip-hop, with the samples that were being used. It's transitioned into a legitimate art form. It was from the beginning, but there was a lot of concern about those samples and the other artists who had produced that music. AI is something that we're going to have to watch. If somebody learns how to use it and can create great stuff using it without infringing on other people's creativity, maybe that's a pathway. But it is, like you said, something to be concerned about. And you say you're scared. In particular, is there something that really scares you about it?
It might put musicians out of work. Musicians have always been out of work. That's nothing new. Musicians are going to make music no matter what obstacles. Real people are going to make real music no matter what's put in front of them. Yeah, it scares me because I just don't see how it can, well, it's gained a foothold. I can't say, like you said, about groups using it. Like hip-hop, who gets compensated? How's it all going to play out? If you have a song, do you say this is AI-generated only, or do you say it's AI-generated, but the guitar player was for real, that's a real solo? I mean, how does it all play out? And who gets compensated?
It's going to be something to continue to monitor as it happens. What's in the future for you?
I'm just going to continue doing what I do. I don't have any delusions of grandeur. I'm happy. I really am. I'm one of those people that lived a long life, and I'm still doing music, and I'm happy. It's a tough road, and just because I can still do it is enough for me. That's all. I'm just going to continue to do my solo-based thing and spoken word, write arrangements, and wherever that leads me to, that's fine. But I don't have any grand plan or anything.
This is Third Stone from the Sun by Jimi Hendrix. Strange, beautiful grass of green, with your majestic silver seas. Your mysterious mountains I wish to see closer. May I land my kinky machine. Although your world wonders me, with your majestic cackling hen, your people I do not understand, so for you I shall put an end, and you never hear surf music again. So the joke at the end was that a line is, you'll never hear surf music again, and I played Pipeline by the Shantays.
Tell us about Third Stone from the Sun.
I just like it. I'm a big, huge fan of Hendrix. The way he put that song together, I just played a couple parts. I played one of the main bass riffs, and then I did that little intro thing. But I thought about it because he says that last line is so great. You'll never hear surf music again. A bell went off. I go, wait a minute. I'll never hear surf music again. So I thought, oh, the Shantae Pipeline. And that's how it came about. It just came, this should be funny. And most people get a little laugh out of it. Yeah, I like Hendrix, and well, that's another thing about me. I like having fun.
I'm going to do a well-known poem called Ozymandias by Percy Shelley. I changed one word. The bass line I'm playing is by John McLaughlin of Mahavishnu fame. It's called You Know, You Know. I met a traveler from an antique land. He said, too vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half-sunk, shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer a cold command tell its sculptor well those passions red which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Donald Trump, King of Kings. Look at my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains around the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare. The lone and level sands stretch far away. You got the joke, right? My name is Donald Trump. I always get a laugh when that goes on. Everybody knows that poem, but it's great.
It's like, it doesn't last forever, dude. It goes away.
Well, I like the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Oh, I heard them live.
I heard them in St. Louis at the Mississippi River Festival. Probably my time, 69, 70 is when they were first out. We were listening to the Uber just blown away. Man, live, it just took your hair. It was so loud, but so intense. Oh, it was great. I'm honest, it was just like, damn, it was just super intense, but it was loud. It was loud.
I love those experiences.
Yeah, when it hits you in the face, like when I heard Jaco Pastorius, when he was just left the weather report, and he still haven't fallen over off the fence. He went down badly. It was so in your face, and the friends I was with, no, he's showing off. I said, I would show off too if I could play like that.
I remember seeing Stanley Clarke not too long ago, and yeah. I didn't see him with Return to Forever, which
yeah.
I would have liked.
I saw Return to Forever.
Amazing that fusion jazz that came about in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s was fun. The fact that you played a Jimi Hendrix cut for us was great because that fits right in with that feel of the time.
Yeah, oh man.
Here's something I always like to tell people. I take what I do very seriously. I really work at it, and I take it seriously. Myself, not so much. I don't take myself seriously.
We really appreciate you joining us today on Community Voices. We're talking with William B. Hart, musician, bassist.
This is from the Bach Cello Suite No. 1, Minuetto.
For us. Tell us about that.
Bach, you can never say enough about. The great piano player Keith Jarrett had to say this about him when he was recording some Bach pieces. All roads lead back to Bach. What he did was so profound and so great. Fun to play. I just like to do it. It's a real challenge, too.
I'd like to go out on a tune well known to the jazz players called Out of Nowhere, made famous by Bing Crosby all the way back in 1931. Thank you.
Out of Nowhere, which is an old standard, really goes back to 1931, has an interesting chord change at the front, especially at the beginning. Bing Crosby recorded it, of all things. Think about that. Still played today. It's a nice tune, nice melody. Improvisers like it.
Anything else you'd like to leave us with?
Glad I got to play for you, and I hope some people come out to see me. I'm an Amy Mogul guy. Come up and talk to me.
William B. Hart, he will be at the open mic starting up at Harvest Market in April. Tom Irwin is part of that, so you'll get a chance to check him out playing his bass, hear some of the music, whatever's delighting him at the time. And we appreciate you joining us today on Community Voices.
Thank you very much, Randy.